This evening's sermon is called The Prayer in the Garden from the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark. Many Christians around the world observe Good Friday on the Friday before Easter, Resurrection Sunday. For Christians, Good Friday is a very crucial day of the year because it is what we celebrate to believe is the most significant weekend in all of history of the world. On Good Friday, we take the time to honor and thank our Lord Jesus Christ for such a divine sacrifice that he has given us at the cross. Ever since Jesus died and rose 3 days later from the dead, Christians have proclaimed the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ to be the most decisive turning point for all creation. On Good Friday, we remember the day that Jesus Christ went to the cross for us willingly, and that he died by crucifixion as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. This evening's passages took place on the day before Jesus went to the cross. I'm going to go ahead and share them with you. The first one is in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 36 through 46. I'm going to go ahead and read this full passage and then discuss it. Verse 36 says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And Jesus took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," which is James and John. "And Jesus began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then Jesus said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' Jesus went a little farther and he fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, 'Oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup, this suffering, pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' Then Jesus came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What, could you not wait with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, a second time, Jesus went away and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if this cup, this suffering, cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.' And Jesus came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. So Jesus left them, went away again, and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then Jesus came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" Amen. Jesus would often go to this place, the Garden of Gethsemane, to pray. This seems to be one of his favorite spots in the scriptures. The scriptures tells us that Jesus took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John. He took them to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says that Jesus began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed and said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." Even though Jesus is fully man, he is fully God, he is also fully man. He knows what it's like to be very distressed and to be sorrowful, just like we can be. He understands this when we go through difficult times ourselves. It says that Jesus went a little farther and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup, which means suffering, pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The Son was in full obedience to the Father's will. Full obedience to the Father's will. Scripture says that Jesus went and he prayed a second time, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup, referring to suffering, cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Again, Jesus being fully obedient to the Father's will. He says, Your will be done, Father. It also says that Jesus left Peter, James, and John and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, after reading this passage, it's very important to understand that Jesus was not afraid of being crucified. The reason why Jesus was so deeply distressed and full of sorrow is because this was going to be the very first time that the Father was going to separate himself from the Son as he bore our sins on the cross. This is why Jesus asked, Father, is there any other way we can do this, Father? I do not want to be separated from you. We've always been one. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. When we pray ourselves, it is so important that we align our heart with God's will. This is what Jesus was doing. You may want something in your life, and you may be praying for something in your life, but if it's not God's will for you, it's probably not going to happen. See, when we pray to the Lord, we're not trying to get the Father to do our will. We're trying to align our heart with the Father's will. Amen? Your will be done. I know I prayed this over and over, Father. But if it's not your will, it's not my will. Your will be done. This is what Jesus is doing. As he was totally distraught. This was hours before he was going to go to the cross. This is the day before in the evening. I want to also share another passage with you. In the Gospel of Mark, Mark recorded this event as well. I'm going to just share a shorter part of it with you. From Mark chapter 14, verse 32 and 36. It says, Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, Sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then Jesus said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little farther. He fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Take this suffering away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Full obedience to the Father's will right up until death on the cross. Scriptures tell us that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane with Peter, James, and John for hours. For hours. Praying for strength from the Father. We get our strength when we're going through very difficult times in our life. We get our strength from the Father as well. Through prayer. That's the only place you're going to get the strength that you need. It's from the Father. Through prayer. And this is why Jesus is doing the same thing. And guess what? Sometimes it takes hours of prayer. Hours. Scripture tells us that Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then Jesus said to them, disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Luke recorded in his gospel, he recorded that an angel appeared to Jesus from heaven to minister to him. He was going through. Luke wrote, he said, an angel appeared to Jesus from heaven to strengthen him. And being in agony, Jesus was in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That's how distressed our Lord Jesus Christ was, that he began to sweat blood. That can happen just before people die. You can sweat blood. He was sweating blood. He was so distressed. Again, he was deeply distressed and sweating blood because this was the first time he was going to be separated from God the Father. He was going to be separated from him, God the Father, for the very first time because Jesus was going to bore the sins of many. So God the Father had to separate himself from the Son as he poured out the sin upon his Son for us. God the Father can have nothing to do with sin. He was going to bore our sin, so God the Father had to separate himself as he poured the wrath out on his Son for you and me. God is holy, which means he's set apart from sin. The Bible says in the first book of Peter, chapter 1, it says, we ought to be holy, just as our Father in heaven is holy, set apart from sin. But this is so important to understand. Jesus was not afraid of the Romans. He was not afraid to go to the cross. He was deeply distressed because of he had to be separated from God the Father for the very first time. He was so troubled. He was sweating blood because this would be the first time the Father was going to separate himself from the Son. Do you remember what Jesus cried out when he was on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Because the Father separated himself from the Son as he poured the wrath down and he bore sin for many. This was God's plan to save his creation through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, fully God, fully man. Someone with perfect righteousness and sinless had to take the punishment that we deserve in order to satisfy the demand of God's justice. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the only man who qualified. He was the only man that was perfect, undefiled, sinless, without blemish. He was the only one who qualified to do this for us. Scriptures tell us that Jesus, when he went to, Scripture tells us that Jesus went to Calvary that following day to die on the cross for his people. Pays our sin debt in full. In full to all those who repent and believe in him. Believe in his word. There's a lot in that word, by the way, believe. Believe in his word. Believe in his works on the cross. Believe that he went to the cross and died for your sins so that you could be saved through him. Believe that he rose 3 days later from the dead. Believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and place your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone to be saved. That's what the scripture says. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. Scripture tells us that Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. The next morning at 9 a.m. he was crucified. And between 12 and 3 p.m., there was total darkness over the whole land. And at 3 p.m., Jesus cried out with a loud voice. And the veil in the temple was torn in two, symbolizing that we can go directly to the Father through Jesus Christ, not through another man. Through Jesus Christ, the temple was torn so we could go right to God the Father. The Apostle John, who was nearby, he was one of the apostles that was actually at the foot of the cross. He saw Jesus be crucified. He was there the whole day till the very end. He recorded in his gospel that just before Jesus died, just before he took his last breath, he said, "It is finished." Mission accomplished. It is finished. God demonstrated his own love for us even while we were still sinners. Christ went to the cross for us. Christ died for us. And in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men in which we must be saved." There was no other name under heaven but Jesus, given among men and women in which we must be saved. This is why Jesus tells us in the scriptures, he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," says the Lord. I mentioned last Sunday in our sermon, most of you were here, so why is this day called Good Friday? It doesn't sound too good, right? This is what the scripture says. Doesn't sound good. It's called Good Friday because it's the day. It's the day that wrath and mercy met at the cross and salvation, forgiveness, was offered to the world through Jesus. That's why it's called Good Friday. It's where wrath and mercy met at the cross. So we could become saved. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him," in our Lord. "He was wounded," the scriptures say, "for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed." Hallelujah. Through God's love and grace, he gives everyone a rescue plan through Jesus Christ, his son, so that we can go from dead in our sin and trespasses to alive in Jesus Christ. God the Father has given this opportunity to the whole world. Everyone can be saved, right? Whoever the scripture says, right? Anybody, Jesus said, can be saved. You just need to repent and believe. And believe. Without Jesus coming to rescue us on this day, to rescue us from our sins, it's important for you to know that if he didn't do this, we would all end up going into eternal punishment for sinning against God Almighty. But instead, God sent forth his Son. That's the heart of the gospel right there. Someone says, what's the gospel? God sent forth his Son. God sent forth his perfect Son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Before I close, I want to share a couple quotes from you from some other men. Augustine, he was a bishop in the 4th century. He said this, "The cross is the pulpit from which God preached his love to the world." The cross is the pulpit in which God preached his love for the world. Reverend Derek Thomas said this, "If you bear the cross, it'll bear you." Think about that. If you bear the cross, you take up your cross daily, it'll bear you. It'll bear you. Reverend Alistair Begg said, "If you want to meet God, if you want to find out where God is, if you want to know God, if you're wondering who God is, the cross is the place in which you must go." We must all go to the cross to meet God because that's where he showed his love for us, at the cross. That cross and the cross you may have around your neck should mean everything to you. It's a reminder every day of what Jesus Christ did for you. He died so you could live. Powerful. Just a reminder, after our final praise song and my closing prayer, I'm asking everybody to please leave the sanctuary in silence to remember and reflect and honor our Lord Jesus Christ. And our final praise song, if you can please stand, is the Old Rugged Cross. We're going to sing this together.